ABC Radio Australia.
Dust is settling on the historic summit between Pacific leaders and the White House, but what exactly are its implications for the region? Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown joins us now to share his country's view on this new Pacific partnership with the United States. Good morning and welcome to Pacific Beat, Prime Minister.
Yes, good morning. Great to be on your show.
Yes, great to have you here. And, you know, it was last week, this historic summit. How do you see Cook Islanders benefiting from this new partnership with the United States?
Well, I think it's just the evolution of how our country is, operating as a sovereign state. The U.S., we do have formal diplomatic relations with 52 other countries around the world. Including the top five Asian countries of China, Japan, Korea, India, also with European countries. So this announcement by the U.S. is very welcome for our country, and we look forward to being able to directly engage now with the U.S. on, formal relations.
You mentioned diplomatic relations with other countries there, including China. Now, the United States has made it clear that its re-engagement with the region has been to counter China. Do you see getting closer with the United States, endorsing this partnership, could be turning back to China's presence in the Pacific?
Well, I think, this year we celebrate 25 years of formal diplomatic relations with China. The U.S. engagement, the re-engagement at a really meaningful level in the Pacific can only benefit Pacific Island countries as well. As we look to emerge from the impacts of COVID, we're looking to regrow our economies. But also in the face of that is the impacts of climate change, which are intensifying for countries like us. So the engagement of the U.S. And their re-engagement in particular with the Paris Agreement and their commitments towards climate change is very positive all around for Pacific countries.
But you don't see it as sort of stepping on maybe Cook Islands or the Pacific more wider, its relationship with China?
Well, we don't see it that way. We see it more as a complementary contribution towards the region. I understand the concerns from a regional perspective or a geopolitics perspective that the larger countries may have with China's presence in the Pacific. But again, for many Pacific countries, trying to emerge out of COVID, trying to face the impacts of climate change, and coming off the back of increased debt for most of the Pacific Island countries, we would be looking for support from all corners. And for us, we see the U.S. as being a major contributor with its announcements of support that it will put towards Pacific Island countries. Whether it remains to be seen as a competitive, element in the relations with China, for us that remains to be seen. We work compatibly with both China, and now we look forward to the same engagement with the U.S.
And Prime Minister, initially Cook Islands was not invited to this U.S. summit. Can you tell us what changed? What allowed Cook Islands to participate?
Well, I think our Pacific Island member countries that were invited emphasized the importance of the Pacific Islands Forum as the key institution that the Pacific engages in on a regional basis. And it was important that all members of the forum, including the Cook Islands, be invited to the summit that the U.S. was proposing. And I think it was full credit to the U.S. for taking this on and inviting not only the Cook Islands, but also the French territories that are full members of the Pacific Islands Forum to have as wide an engagement, as a meaningful as an engagement as possible. And I think they viewed that request from the other Pacific Island countries, our current chair, Fiji, the likes of Samoa, Papua New Guinea and others, the request to include us was, we're grateful that it was well received by the U.S.
And the summit was also significant because for the first time, I understand, the United States recognized Cook Islands as a sovereign state. Why do you believe that was important?
Well, we've been engaging with the U.S. For a number of years, really, on different matters as a sovereign nation. And I think, as I said, it's the natural progression of the evolution of our country as a sovereign state that operates independently on the global stage. The U.S. has seen that, you know, we've entered into a number of agreements with the U.S. In terms of fisheries treaties, in terms of maritime border agreements. And I think it was time for them to recognize the U.S., recognize the Cook Islands as a sovereign entity that operates independently on the global stage.
And speaking of those agreements, I mean, this latest declaration is quite wide-ranging, as we've been discussing. It touches on climate change, COVID-19, along with other security issues in the region. Do you want to see the United States do more at all? Is there any other area or any more specific areas that you want more engagement in?
Well, as sort of the new kids on the block in terms of engagement with the Pacific, with the U.S., I should say, the Cook Islands is just happy to take these first steps. But I'm really encouraged by the recommitment, the re-engagement of the U.S. in the climate arena. I was very impressed with the high caliber of senior officials that we met during the 2 days and the commitment shown by them for the U.S. to have full, meaningful engagement back in the Pacific was I felt very, very substantial. So they've demonstrated that with the new fisheries agreement that was signed just this year, increasing the amount that Pacific countries will be receiving from the U.S. Their commitments towards climate financing also has been very much appreciated, and you know, we look forward to those commitments also flowing on to other large developed countries with their commitments towards supporting those countries at risks of climate change. So those two areas, economic growth and assisting with building resilience in the face of climate change, I think are a good first re-engagement for the U.S.
If you are just tuning in here on ABC Radio Australia, we're joined by Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown with us here on Pacific Beach. We're talking about that latest White House summit, that historic summit that took place last week, with Pacific leaders being invited to the White House for the first time, and also about this new partnership with the United States. Just days before the summit, Solomon Islands said that it would not support the declaration, and we saw a letter sort of outlining its refusal. But by the end of the summit, we saw Solomon Islands did endorse the partnership and declaration. Now, Prime Minister Mark Brown, I wonder if you can take us behind the scenes in those negotiations. Are you able to let us know what that was like and what exactly changed to bring Solomon Islands across the line?
Well, I mean,
if you're allowed
I'm not
to.
Too sure from the Solomon Islands perspective here. I can only say I think that in the 2 days that we did meet with U.S. officials and then with President Biden, I think all of us as Pacific Island leaders were struck by the, the very meaningful engagements that we did have with the U.S. You know, it wasn't just rhetoric that we were hearing. It wasn't just sugar coating that the U.S. was providing. You know, we had full-on face-to-face meetings with their Secretary of State, Secretary of Commerce, senior officials, each one of them with a very focused view on what does the U.S. need to do to re-engage with the Pacific. And, you know, I think a lot of us were very impressed by that level of engagement that the U.S. provided, and backed up also by a significant package of resourcing and funds across different areas that they will be looking to put towards the Pacific. And, you know, the full credit, I guess, to the U.S. as well. They've recognized that their absence from the Pacific over the decades has resulted in a vacuum that's been filled by countries like China and others that have filled in and assisted Pacific Island countries. So they've made a commitment to coming back into the Pacific in a big way, in a meaningful way. And this, I think, has you know, really convinced some of the leaders of the commitment of the U.S. towards the Pacific region moving forward.
I mean, speaking of that commitment, it has been said, considering how divided United States politics can be, there are fears that this engagement is temporary, and with a new change of government, we could see a turning back of this re-engagement with the Pacific. Do you share those concerns?
No, not at all. One of the engagements that we did have was at the Capitol, hosted by the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, at an event that was attended by both Republican members of Congress and senators, as well as Democrats. And the message from the representatives was that this engagement by the government is very much a bipartisan approach that the U.S. has undertaken. And of course, they may have differing reasons, but at the end of the day, the issues around climate change were important, but also issues around regional security and ensuring that the Pacific has a real voice, if you like, in the Pacific. And that it's to counter what they see as the threats of Chinese investment in the Pacific. So I'm not too concerned that this may be just a temporary measure. I'm quite confident that this will be quite a lasting measure, the beginning of the re-engagement of the Pacific meaningfully, of the U.S. meaningfully into the Pacific region.
The Pacific Islands Forum has been open and has all its members have signed on to this U.S. partnership. It didn't do the same with China's treaty, though, earlier this year. What was different?
Well, I think one of the major differences was in the way that Pacific Island countries engaged, that they wanted us to engage. The Chinese have a very different approach in terms of their engagement, very much controlled by their agenda and how things are done. The U.S. Understood very well the sovereignty that is important to every Pacific Island country and recognized the forum as the premier institution that Pacific Island countries use in dealing with regional matters. So for the Cook Islands, as the incoming chair of the Pacific Islands Forum, which we will host next year, I guess this is just another reason where the U.S. has recognized the Cook Islands as a sovereign state in view of the fact that we will be chairing the forum, and any engagement by the U.S. with the forum will be with myself as the incoming chair.
And just finally, Prime Minister Mark Brown, you're a Pacific leader at a very interesting time with this heightened focused and sort of geopolitical landscape really being spotlighting the Pacific. How do you feel about that? Do you think these new partnerships, particularly this one with the United States, will mean a safer Pacific or a more contested one?
Well, certainly the Pacific is being recognized now as an important area. From a geopolitical perspective. And I think many countries are starting to realize the value of the Pacific as well, not just strategically, but also as an economic area, but also in the resources that the Pacific Island member countries have in their own independent and sovereign rights. So this is an important time where we see ourselves emerging as one of the areas of importance with a lot of the developed nations now around the world. And it's something that we will need to use, I guess, as we, these Pacific member countries that are considered vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, very vulnerable to the impacts of economic shocks with the likes of inflation and so forth that we're seeing now. It's important that we are able to engage in a meaningful way with developed countries. So right now, I think is a good time for Pacific Island countries to be able to leverage on these important factors to build resilience, to grow our economy, and to protect our peoples and our countries.
Prime Minister Brown, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Great to be on your show. Thank you very much.
That was Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown.